as time approaches, as the coming of the Lord, as we grow closer to the end of probation, the end of grace, one of the things that we as disciples of the Lord must be able to work through and overcome is rejection. You know, rejection is fabric of life on this side of Jordan. And regardless of how successful one may be, rejection will come your way. It will come your way by someone, somewhere. You may experience rejection in a relationship, a rejection in your career, rejection in family, rejection with friends, employment. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Rejection. Young lady had new business line and she was presenting her product, and she went to a potential customer all excited and just really had her presentation, and after the presentation, it was declined. She was rejected. And she said, well, God bless you and thank you, and went on her way. It seemed to me that she understood how to work through this spirit of rejection. And that's what we want to talk about today, breaking the spirit of rejection. What do you say? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us everything we need. Thank you for giving us your spirit so that we're able to share the good news. And when those moments that we are rejected, that we will continue to speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, rejection can be painful, huh? It can be uncomfortable. And this idea of rejection began with Lucifer himself. He had his idea. He had his plan. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to take over the universe. He attempted the first coup d'etat. He attempted to run the universe his way. And because of his refusal to repent, he now stands eternally rejected. And because he is rejected, he's trying to get you and I to be rejected. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. See, he works so that we can have this sense that we are just no good. Rejection. He kills, steals, and destroys. He tries to make us reject having any sense of integrity, any sense of walking forward in the Lord. Rejection, the enemy of souls, wants you and me to just give up. I mean, haven't you ever felt like you're the only one sometime trying to stand for what's right? Rejection. But you know, prophecy tells us that there will be a worldwide rejection. A time will come, Revelation 13, 17 tells us, when people will not be able to buy and sell. Are you prepared for that rejection? Are you prepared one day to use your credit card and it says rejected? Hello? Are you prepared for that rejection? And that is not the time to start rationalizing and compromising and say God will understand. Because all these, how many Sabbath schools have you read over the course of your life? How many sermons have you listened to? How many times you have witnessed and shared? It all culminates when things when we are clearly told that we can no longer do business as usual, that's the time we need to be faithful. That we exercise, right now we're exercising our spiritual muscles so that at that time we'll be able to withstand and to stand. So that's why we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to Jesus because Jesus knows how to break the spirit of rejection. Just some thoughts here. When you're dealing with rejection, whether it's relational, whatever the item of rejection is, take some time to grieve. You know, sometimes as Christians, we're in denial. Sometimes as Christians, we say, oh, that didn't happen that way. You know, Jesus says, say unto the mountain. We have to deal with the reality. And I'm wondering, maybe that's the reason why Christ liked going into the mountains. Maybe that's the reason why Christ liked going around the seashore. Because, you know, that man, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he experienced rejection. And he just didn't just like say, oh, it was nothing. He took it. And so he was able to get away. And I believe he grieved. I believe he processed what was going on and the events that happened. So if you're dealing with rejection, take some time to grieve the process. And then talk to a trusted friend. You know, it's good to have some folk that you can trust. What do you say? And that's why, what is it? The shortest sentence in the Bible is what? Why did he weep? Because his close friend, perhaps Lazarus was one of those people, Jesus would go to his house and just sit down and talk about his rejection. Talk about how things didn't go right or wrong. So it's good to have a trusted friend and then accept the rejection early. Amen? What did Jesus say to his disciples when they reject you? What did he say about the sandals? Yeah, shake them off quickly and move on. Move on. Don't let it make you collapse. Don't allow it to cause you to lose your direction. Just accept it for what it was, for what it is. And in the last two, 4 and 5, that's where I'm going to try to focus on. Be what? Anointed. Anointed by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then do great things for the Lord. You know, if we can work these principles, it will serve us well as we deal with rejection that we deal in our life. So Luke chapter 4, it's monumental. I mean, it's like Christ gives his mission statement. And it is his really first public sermon. So I'm going to say it's his first sermon because that's where we recorded his first sermon. And no, I'm believing he was really excited to preach his first sermon. He's coming back to his hometown, and he's preaching his sermon. And what he says breaks that spirit of rejection. His opening sentence, Luke 4:18, he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? What else do you bring in this church that is upon you? What pressure is upon you? What grief is upon you? What fear is upon you? But you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can work through whatever else is upon you. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, it can move through whatever evil that may be upon you. And as a disciple of Christ, we are disciples. As we share God's word, we are going to be rejected. How many of you experience being rejected as you share the good news? Some say, well, I don't have time. Rejection. I'm too busy. Rejected. I just don't feel that. Rejected. We get told many ways, many ways. I've had people, once they hear the truth, literally cover their ears as I'm sharing. Literally, get up and walk out. So do you stop talking when they walk out? Rejection. And so you and I must not allow this rejection stop us from sharing the good news. Amen? Stop sharing the truth of our Lord and Savior, not because when you have the Spirit, you will continue on sharing the good news. See, being anointed by the Spirit is necessary to be a disciple, because when you have the Spirit, you realize it's not by might, not by persuasive words, but by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that convinces and convicts. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms and empowers you and I to do what thus saith the Lord. And so, sensing God's presence, being filled with His Spirit, is required in these last moments before probation closes, because there's some folk who need the Lord. What do you say? Everybody needs the Lord, but the reality is not everyone is going to accept it. Many people will reject the message, but we continue to look for those who will say yes. It's really like a needle in a haystack. Remember, we just read during our Sabbath school lesson this week, remember the Roman centurion who was a heathen, a pagan, and he asked Christ to heal, and he said something that was so full of faith. Jesus said, I haven't seen such faith in Israel. Talking about a Gentile. You never know who you talk to that will accept Jesus as Lord. And we cannot go by, well, so-and-so rejected me, so therefore I'm not going to share it. We have to be willing to share the good news in season when things are being accepted. And we specifically have to be able to share Jesus when we have been rejected. Because, see, you and I are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Christ begins his sermon saying that I'm anointed, that the Spirit of God is upon me. And 1 Corinthians says, you are the temple. You are the temple filled with the presence of God. Oh, I'll say amen for you. We are the temple. We have the good news. And so God has equipped you and me to withstand rejection. It's not easy, but we can do it, empowered to break that spirit of rejection, that we can do great things. And so Jesus is the living temple. Thank God. See, God knows that most people won't come into a church. So God sends the church out to the people in you. You are the temple. You are the body of Christ. It's you that has the words of Christ and the thoughts of Christ and the behavior of Christ. And so Jesus was that living temple. He taught and he challenged and he preached and he healed and he cast out demons and he comforted and he gave hope. And isn't that our call in these last days? To be that living temple filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Christ begins his sermon. And what Christ does, he gives the template of doing great things. Doing great things. What I'm about to say is doing great things for God. I don't know what your template is of what does it mean to do great things. But Jesus lays it out on what it is to do great things. So Luke 4:18, he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you want to do great things for God, take care of the poor. Support the poor. Help those who are needy. And here, he didn't say poor Israelites. He said all poor. Every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every kindred, to all poor. See, the good news is universal news to all poor. And that's why our ACS ministry is having an impact on our community. Those in different needs have different needs. Our ACS ministry is really making a difference. You know, sometimes we pastors ask that if the church closed down here at 1099, would this community know it? And I believe one of the reasons why that the community wouldn't want this place to shut down is because of what ACS is doing. Getting out there, meeting real needs and struggling to meet real needs. Sometimes it's just overwhelming hearing the needs and the stories that people have. But this is what we're here for. What do you say? He says, preaching good news to the poor. And then he said, to heal the brokenhearted, those who are suffering emotionally. And really the emphasis is those who are repentant, those who have a burden who have sinned, those who are struggling with some type of issue in their life, and they want to be free from what is ailing them. Jesus has the answer. And that's what our church is here for. I mean, he is talking about doing great things because the Spirit of God is on him, and this is how you break that spirit of rejection. And then he says, releasing the captives, those who are in bondage, those who have addiction, those who are struggling with some type of harmful habit. You can be free from Satan. You can be free from sin. You can be free from selfishness. This is power of God. This is the power of the Lord working here. Power of forgiveness and restoring sight to the blind. Literally, it's talking about spiritual blindness. Corinthians talk about the God of this world who has blinded people to the truth of the gospel. Jesus is a light to the Gentiles, and you and I are the light to the world, salt of the earth. We're talking about great works. This is great works that pleases God. And he says, liberty for those who are bruised, those who are feeling oppressed, spiritual oppression, those who are struggling with discouragement or depression. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly, free from erroneous doctrines and free that we're free. And preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Anytime, anyone, any place wants to accept Jesus that they can be free. We have the message of hope. Message that has content that makes a difference in our life. You know, ever since our evangelism, we started out with our week of evangelism, emphasizing the family, and then after that, we had a week of prophecy, and then for the last, 5-6 Wednesdays, Dr. Nedimo and his colleagues from the Hampton University have come and presented ways on how to be free from illness. Now, this Wednesday, you don't want to miss it. The Lagadino family, could you raise your hand? Could you raise your hand, Rebecca? Okay, there you go. Brother, you raise your hand too. They're going to deal with a scary word. 6 words, cancer. They have faced cancer and broke that spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. I didn't say a headache, I said cancer. I didn't say a fingernail got hurt. I said cancer. They're going to share their powerful stories, and they're going to put something in your hands, just some simple things that you could do for breakfast, just some simple things that you could do for lunch, just some simple things that you could do for dinner that will make cancer run from you. Huh? So you don't want to miss it this Wednesday, because this is the good news. This is the gospel that you and I have. Well, listen to these words, ministry of healing. Those who put their trust in Christ are not to be enslaved by hereditary. You know how we use that, right? Oh, it's just in my family. Oh, it's just in my genes. Well, God got something for your chromosomes, huh? By hereditary or cultivated habits. Oh, I've been doing this for years. There's no way out. God got you covered. Says those who put their trust in Christ are not to be enslaved by any hereditary or cultivated habit or tendency, instead of being held in bondage to the lower nature. They are to rule every appetite and passion. God has not left us to battle with evil in our own finite strength. Whatever. Oh, I like that word. Whatever. Somebody say whatever. Whatever. Whatever may be our inherited. Whatever may be our cultivated tendencies to wrong. Here we go. We can overcome through the power that he is ready to impart. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about being filled with the Spirit. See, Jesus was the living temple. He was the living temple. And because we are filled with the same Spirit, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and what? Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And we'll talk more about, could you hit that? I hit the wrong button here. That you will do because I go to the Father. So Jesus was the living temple. He taught, he preached, he healed, he cast out demons, and he's doing it today through his disciples. He moves around the poor. He moves around those who are outcast, those who are sick and blind. His actions fulfill Scripture. He came in this sermon to announce deliverance. Now think about it. This is his first sermon. I can imagine people hearing this. They're excited. Wouldn't you be? I mean, this is Jesus coming back home. He's coming back home. And then they say, and he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him. And what did they do? And marvel at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. See, if you want to break the spirit of rejection, you need to marvel at the wonders and works of God. You need to just to take time and just praise God. There's something powerful happens when we give thanksgiving to God. When we just say, God, thank you. Yes, this happened wrong and that happened wrong. But you know, God, you're a good God. You're a mighty God. And you know, that will break the spirit of rejection. And so they marveled at his words. And then they said, is not this Joseph's son? They said, wait a second. Isn't this Joe's boy? I mean, I saw the boy go down the street and get milk. Isn't this Joe's boy? Who would have ever thought that he would be preaching to us? Who would ever thought that the Spirit of God would be upon him and that he would do great things? Because, see, they had heard of his works. They had heard of what Jesus was able to do. So now they're starting to have a level of expectation that now he's here. Joseph's son is here. Joseph's son has returned home. Now what miracle is he going to do for us? Oh, can't you sense the level of expectation? This is his first sermon that he has. And they're saying, is not this Joseph's son? And then Jesus said to them, you will surely quote this proverb, physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard. They said, okay, Jesus, what you got? What miracle are you going to do now? And so what Jesus begins to do, he begins to talk about Elijah, when Elijah was a prophet, where the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and it did not rain for 3.5 years, and folk were in need. But what God does, he sends Elijah to heal, to bring back to life a son of a widow, and those who were supposedly the church folk, those who were children of Israel, Elijah didn't deal with them. And what Christ was saying, if you want a miracle, if you want to see the power of God, you're going to have to get right and stay right. Jesus was saying that if you want the presence of God in your life, you got to repent of your ways. You got to change your life. And isn't that the good news of the gospel? That we come to God just as we are, but we don't remain as we are. The good news. So here it is, the sermon. Everybody's excited. They're welcoming him. The gracious words. They're saying hallelujah. They're ready. But then verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. See, the Romans didn't reject him. It wasn't the Samaritans that rejected Christ. It was who? The church folk. And today, we have church folk. And this is why we have to be strong. Folk who love the Lord still rejecting Jesus on some important points. Rejecting Jesus about the Sabbath. Rejecting Jesus about, God did not create our body to eat everything that flies in the air, that walks on land, that swims in the water. They profess to be Christian, but they're rejecting Jesus. That they reject Jesus in terms of what happens when a person closes their eyes. Jesus says you sleep until the resurrection. And we've been taught, I know I was taught, that when you die, either you go to heaven right away or you go to hell. I mean, that's what I was taught. And so the people, these church folk, were upset. They were shaken. They were shaken. And the Bible says that they were so shaken that they got up, drove him, Jesus, out of the town, out of the church, out of the town. We're talking about Jesus, okay? And took him, what? To the edge. And not to pray, huh? They weren't having a healing service. They weren't having a dedication service, were they? They wanted to end his ministry. Then it's his first sermon. His first sermon, they were going to end his ministry. First, one sermon. Mercy. One sermon. Usually you take about, 20 sermons to get folk upset, right? 30 sermons, 40 sermons, I don't know how many sermons it takes for folk get mad at you, want you to leave, but rarely it's one sermon. So Jesus got it, one sermon, his first sermon. They were ready to end his career, end him. That was it. So there was a shaking. They were shook up. And as right before the end of probation, right before grace is no more, right before the second coming, the Lord's prophet tells us that there will be a shaking within the Seventh-day Adventist church. The special time is called the shaking time. Refers to a process when every single person who says that they are Seventh-day Adventist, your faith will be tested ultimately. Don't know the circumstance. Don't know what it'll be. Might be a relationship. Might be a job. Might be about money. It might be about health. It might be standing for the truth. But it will happen. The time is upon us that our church will experience a shaking like never before. And as you read the spirit of prophecy, I just want to highlight some bullet points on what this shaking within the Adventist church will look like. Well, how does this shaking happen? They were shaken at what Jesus said in his first sermon and said, prevailing worldliness caused by not having experienced the love of the truth, or being sanctified through obedience to the truth. Folk are going to get caught up on people and on sayings, on things, and their faith will not be rooted in the truth of the Word of God. We're talking about a shaking where there will be persecution from outside the church. Soon and very soon, our nice, simple drives to church, we're going to have some challenges with. From outside the church, we're going to experience a shaking by erroneous doctrines within the church, things that are not biblical, but yet they sound good, but they're sounding wrong. Rejection of the sanctuary doctrine involving the significance of the pre-advent judgment. When Jesus comes, he says, I come with my reward with me. There is judgment going on right now. But, you know, Jesus tells us, we fill out the judgment card. Jesus said, by every word you're justified, and by every word you're condemned. So God doesn't have to do very much. He just lets us do it. It's by what we say, it's by what we think, and it's by our actions. That's why I don't know about you, but I need the blood of Jesus. Huh? It says, defection among church leaders. Their time is coming. We may have prominent church leaders that you would never think of that will leave the church, will start their own church, will do some things that we will say, oh no, what is going on? An impressive number of church members will leave. We just had it here. I don't know if you remember the Tidewater Church in this area left the conference. Group of people just left the conference. And we're going to see more and more of churches, folk in the churches, just leaving. They're going to leave the church. The church will seem about to fail. It will seem like this is it. There's no hope. That God's power has run out, that Satan has won, that this spirit of rejection is in full force. But I want you to remember, they were ready to throw Jesus off the cliff. But the Bible says he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Oh, I love what Ted and Sing Jay said. Remember that God can make a way. God can make a way when there is no way. When the doctor says no, God can say yes. God knows how to make the valley of the dry bones live again. God knows how to breathe life in those who have no life. God knows how to make us live again. Oh, yes, he does. That's who he is. Just when it seemed like Jesus was outnumbered, they took him out of the church, took him out to the town, took him to the cliff, and it looked like that was it. But that's where God knows how to make a way. He knows how to make a way. I don't know what you're dealing with, but God knows. That's his DNA. That is his name. He is the El, the strong one. He is Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. He is El Elyon, El Nisi. He knows how to turn things around. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a God like that. Huh? Because all they told me, is not this Joseph boy? Huh? I remember when you were doing this. Or I remember when you were doing that. Is not this Joseph boy? What are folk telling you that you can't do it anymore? Is not this Joseph's son? You're not expected to do anything other than what you have been. Is not this Joseph's son? Well, partly right. He was raised by Joseph, but he was the son of God. And you are a child of the king. You are a child of God. I don't know what your DNA is telling you when you get up in the morning. Huh? What does your DNA tell you to do? Get up. Oh, I gotta get up and make the donuts. I gotta get up and eat those donuts. Pastor, you don't understand. It's in my genes to eat these donuts. Huh? My father ate the donuts. My grandfather ate the donuts. I'm a donut-eating family. Huh? Are you with me? What is your DNA telling you? Huh? Hey, it's in my genes. I'm just fulfilling the natural order of my ancestry. But you just heard that the Spirit of the living God can deal with hereditary issues. What about these cultivated? You got these cultivated donuts in here. Well, I've been doing this since high school. I've been doing this since 1975. I've been thinking this way since 1990. God says, no problem. Come as you are. And I can provide you some shoe bread. You can exchange the donuts for some shoe bread. Huh? God is not intimidated by our DNA, nor is he intimidated by our lifestyle. There is nothing on planet Earth that the cross of Christ, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of God. The anointing of the Lord. The presence of God. That's why Christ begins his sermon by stating the answer, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So whatever else is going on in your life, the Spirit of God is here. Whatever else is upon you, as long as you've got the Spirit of God upon you, you can work through it. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's simple. And so right when it seems like within the Adventist church, when it seems like it's falling apart, do you know what she says? New converts will take the place of the defectors. Amen. Woo! Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is responsible for the church, and we are responsible for making disciples. Preparation for the crisis involves developing habits of enthusiasm, courage, loyalty, and doing what? Great works. Great works. Greater works. Most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Greater works, not greater works in quality, but in quantity. Because we have so many disciples, we'll be able to do many more works than what Jesus did by himself. Because there are millions of disciples, we can set the world upside down like those 12 disciples did. Are you with me? Talking about greater works, not mediocre works. How many of you get up in the morning, seriously, and prayed the prayer, God, please help me to be mediocre. Lord, I really want to be mediocre. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit so that I could be mediocre this day. And that whatever happens to me, I just want to be mediocre. How many of you have raised your children to be mediocre? That's okay, honey. Just be mediocre. Anybody? Do I got any takers? I'm not going to judge it. I mean, if that's it, then that's fine. I'm just wondering. What about doing great things for God? I mean, don't you want to do great things for God? This is our opportunity to do not average things, not mediocre things, but great things. And God defines what those great things, what are the greater works to do. See, to break the spirit of rejection is developing Christ-like character. You can't do any greater work than being like Jesus. Huh? Ephesians 4:23 and Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's great work to have folk think like Jesus, talking about greater work. That will break the spirit of rejection, developing our character. Breaking the spirit of rejection is having love and forgiveness. Jesus said, by this you shall know who were my disciples, if they love one another. Jesus said in John 13:35, Matthew 6:14-15, talks about, hey, you have to forgive because your Father forgives you. What greater work on planet Earth is if we would love one another and work through the process of forgiveness? Talking about great work. Oh, our world needs love and forgiveness. Breaking the spirit of rejection is doing the greater work of soul winning. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Sister White calls salvation the miracle of miracles. To think about it, that you and I that can be saved, and you know, it gets the devil upset when you stay saved. I'm wondering, how many in here have been saved 10 years? How many been saved 20 years? How many been saved 30 years? Don't you know that angers the devil? You are calling him a liar. That you, God begins his eternal process right here, right now on planet Earth. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of rejection, God says, I can make a way when there is no way. And that breaks the spirit of rejection. To break the spirit of rejection that we share with those in need. And if it's by grace we are saved, not of works. But you know, saved persons have some good works. Our good works don't save us, but it shows that we are saved. And when we share what God has given us, see, you are the temple. You are the temple. This building is a beautiful place that we come together and praise God, but the true building of God is you. You are the temple of the living God. Great works to break the spirit of rejection is by praising God and giving thanks, that we continually give thanks. Continually give thanks. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, whether you're struggling, we continue to give thanks. What do you say? And you know what? When you and I praise God, when you and I give thanks, you know what it produces? A peace. A peace that passes understanding. And that's what Jesus offers you and I. A peace that you can't get on the internet. A peace that you can't, it cannot be Googled. A peace that only comes when you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. When you allow him to make a way when there is no way, you and I will have a peace, a peace, a peace. We'll have strength. And when you and I do what God says, You know, the book of Revelation, one of the gifts God's going to give to every believer is a new name. He's going to put a new name on a stone that only you will know. God has a plan for you and me. It's just that you and I have to make that decision that we're not going to be settled with doing mediocre works, average works, but you and I will be willing to do great works for the Master. Put our trust in Him so that people will know. Come on up, Ed. Yeah. People will know. People will know that Christ is worth living for.